Good morning. Let's just bow in a word of prayer as we start. Our Heavenly Father, how gracious you are, as we mentioned. And we're reminded how loving you are and the characters, how you want to mold us into your image and be more and more like you each day, Lord. Help us as we open the word, not just in our corporate setting, but our word at home, as you prompt us and encourage us. To look into your word, one, to solve our problems, to live moments that are encouragement in our life, and even our correction. So we thank you as we have the privilege of coming to you, as you always say, come, and we ask your blessing now in Jesus' name, amen. We've been studying the book of Matthew in our Bible study on Wednesday nights, and we'll be working from there a little bit today. But I had to wait. I'm sorry I was late, but I had to write down, be about your business, because actually it's something that actually could be part of the message if you associate it with what we're going to talk about. But recently in our Wednesday night Bible study, I think in chapter 13, we had examined seven parables. I've got to forward this thing. Some Bible commentators and even Mike Schofield, consider that these verses there's an eighth parable in there. And I thought, oh, maybe, and I looked and I said, well, Schofield says, it looks like seven. But once I looked at the layout, it has an eighth marked at the back end. And we discussed the seven, and it's also, when we get to the end of the chapter, we kind of read past and what is going on. And I know Schofield's heading, my heading has, the subheading he has is, and I turned to the wrong page, but it's Schofield's subheading is the ministry of the kingdom, the period between the king's two advents. The first seven parables of that chapter present the truth concerning the history of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God is seldom printed in the Matthew section because it's written to Jews and they didn't like to have the mention of the name of God. So it was always kingdom of heaven, but one, I believe, one and the same. But it's the truth concerning the history of the kingdom of God in the present age. We're in the present age between the two advents. The parable, as I will refer to it, teaches the responsibility of the disciples during the same period, in other words, between the two advents. And as we read the chapter 13, we were seeing that Jesus was was talking to the multitudes, and then he also took them privately and discussed the parables with them. So what's the parable? Oh, okay. Matthew 13, verses 51 and 52. Right between the two verses, Schofield has put the householder. But the verses we're going to talk about, a few more other than this, is Jesus said unto them, have you Have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, Therefore, every scribe who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a man that is a householder, who bringeth forth out of the treasury things new and old. Is that echoing for me, or just I hear it in my hearing aids that I don't have on? Oh, okay. Oh, thank you for that. All right. Well, these seven parables do not deal with the deepest facts concerning the kingdom of heaven. Neither were they the parables which tell the whole story of the kingdom. They have an application to the age which they have no, I'm sorry, they have no application to the age which preceded the first advent. Will be Matthew 1:25 of our Lord. Neither have they application to the age which shall succeed the second advent. And that would be in Revelations, we might find where that goes. I had an Esther joke here, you know, I don't know about it. I said, they have no application to the age which preceded the first advent. And I put out Matthew 1:25 as which Jesus was born. But I had, we could go back to 1:18 or Matthew 6:3-16 in his baptism. But Mary was with child and Esther was with child. So, you know, the joke didn't come out any good, but I had to explain that, talking anyway, in case I read it. But these parables, they are simply Jesus giving us the truth, or setting forth the truth, concerning the goings-on in history of the kingdom during the period between the two advents. So these two verses, 51 and 52, contain a brief parable, and they reveal the responsibility of those who have been disciples of the kingdom in an age when the kingdom principles are not wholly and absolutely victorious. When we look at chapter 13, we look and see Jesus giving the parables to the multitudes and to the disciples privately. But we could read that as we are now in that age between the two advents, that information that he gives applies to us. Going about your business. Okay. The parable follows a question and answer. And that question we must consider, both the disciples were considering and we must consider. And we do by the teaching that we heard, the teaching in chapter 13. And first a question in 51. It says, have ye understood all these things? And we can almost go starting with just the emphasis there is understood. They have heard them all. They have been interested in them all. How can we say that they have been interested in them all? I'm going to draw that is because they asked, what does that parable mean? And then when they got inside privately inside the house, they said, can you tell us what that parable meant about the seed and the darnel, the wheat and the darnel? So you can see that they were interested. They were listening. And because we have the Bible in front of us and we've read through it, we always say that we know them guys didn't understand all this. Or I mean, that's the kind of thing I get as saying it. Did they really understand all that thing? We sat, we got the Bible and we read it, and we sometimes still don't understand things. The Lord gives us what we can handle. But for the benefit of the doubt, we got to think, yes, they understood what Jesus was saying. But we have, I don't know why I'm going to say we're skeptical, but because we've got additional pages of chapters in the Bible of seeing their frailty, or their, we see Jesus saying, oh, you have little faith. Well, they had faith, and our faith the same way. It kind of, it's there, and then somebody, we get distracted, and it falls off a little bit, and it comes back stronger because we've gone back into the Word. We saw that in last week when Peter was walking on the water. I don't think it was just a little reboot. Oh, you have a little faith. Because he had faith to go out there. Right away, he had confidence. I'm going to go out there and walk. And he did. But then he had a little bit of what we would call also doubt. You know, is it? Am I really walking on top of the water? Or am I going to sink? Because I'm a fisherman. I know what the water is like. You start adding more things to it. But like I said, they had heard the first four parables spoken to the multitude. They had heard the explanations. They had heard the parables spoken to themselves privately in the house. And they also had the explanation of the last one about the dragnet. But also, if you look at it, have you understood? Well, they understood that. But also, we see this words, all these things. Oh, you just told me, did I understand it? And yes, that's the question. We went, yeah, Lord. You know, but Jesus is going, do you understand all these things? And what he was trying to go is that, have you put together, or do you have understanding of the things that you see, what I've been trying to teach you? Jesus had been moving steadily forward through all the parables in this chapter of the kingdom history and the process that was going on that they would see and we will see and we see between the two advents and the age that we're in. When he's saying, have you understood all these things? What he asks is whether they have recognized the system of his teaching. For this is what is necessary in order to fulfill the responsibility of the age. You know, we see that they answered him, yea, Lord. And on the basis of that answer, and Jesus, and we also, we too answer that question. Do you understand? Do you understand all things? We can go right away and say, I don't understand all things, but I do understand a lot of things. And I'm constantly learning more and more and more, and we're finding out that we'll never know it all. But each of us is learning as we start off, and sometimes it's a quick, fast process, and then you and keep going. But other times it's a slow process. All right, you keep adding on. Jesus, you know, he's not going to. Jesus knows that we're not going to be able to comprehend that. And like, and this morning, just I mentioned about the darkness. We can't comprehend what went on for those 3 hours. We can imagine a few things, but we can't comprehend. And that's the same with our growing in Christ. But on the basis of that answer, Jesus is now proceeding to describe their responsibility, or our responsibility in this age. When you and I answer, do you understand Yes. Do you understand the gospel message? Yes. In doing so, Jesus first described the position. There's a lot in this two verses. You know, I've never gone and said two verses and how can you find all this stuff in it or find questions or melt in. And the first thing was that we did go back a step. Matthew, we read the 13 and I said, wow, I didn't really understand that that was only for this age until you start doing a little more deeper study. But also I go, oh, I'm only read over verse 52. You know, it's a householder, you know. But in doing so, Jesus first described their position. He first described our position. And the position, in the words of, then said unto them, therefore, every scribe who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven, okay, and that's what they had been doing to them. And that's in this age, right now, that is what we're trying to do, or we're trying to do is instruct. Concerning, instruct and tell you and teach you things. Everyone shares in that knowledge of Christ and gives us knowledge of the kingdom of heaven, but concerning the kingdom of heaven. And what are those words? He goes, let's just take every scribe. Interesting word. Interesting word. If we hear the word scribe in our studying at home, here, we think of scribes, Pharisees, priests, scribes. What can you find there? Why would you use a word like that? It's interesting, I think. The Lord used the word scribe, but he wants to use it in a real significant way. For we know that the writer, Matthew, goes back into the Old Testament. As he was studying Matthew, he's constantly going back in the Old Testament because he's trying to teach the people about Jesus as your king. And where do you find a lot of that information? In the Old Testament. But he goes back into the Old Testament. And as a class of people, we know, again, currently, right then, at that time, the scribes were, you know, bitterly opposed to Jesus. But as a class, the scribes began to exist in the time of Ezra. They appeared to be an order of scribes. I'm sorry, in Moses' time. But those scribes in the Old Testament were like history. They were more historians. We got 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Kings. It's a lot of military activity going on. So you could say there was some scribes during Moses' time, but they weren't the scribes that Jesus was trying to show here and tell us that that every scribe who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven, that's us if we don't, as we read, know our gospel. We are scribes. That is what he's going to try to show. So we'll go back to just the time of Ezra, just shortly here. And Ezra was there, and he arose an order of scribes. And Ezra was the most outstanding figure at that time of that order. I think if you reference Ezra chapter 7, verse 6 and verse 10, you see as he was sent to back to from Babylonia to Israel. But he was very important. Back then, during Ezra's time, there was a great Bible movement, a great scriptural moment. So this order of scribes arose. They were men who read the law and explained it, similar to the scribes that we know of in the New Testament. And consequently, they became the moral interpretations, or the moral interpreters for the people. Christ has been instructing the disciples in throughout the Bible, but in chapter 13, and he's also instructing his current disciples now, who were to interpret the kingdom of heaven through this age. We are to interpret the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom, to the world, and renamed what happens to Jesus here. He names the people, the ones who have been instructed in the kingdom of heaven, the ones now, us, that have been instructed in the kingdom. He has now given them the name of scribe. Basically, Jesus has transferred the fulfillment of an office, scribe, from men who had failed, to men who would succeed. And in order to achieve this fulfillment of responsibility, therefore, there must be understanding of the king's teaching concerning the kingdom in this age. The comment would be, if you have a sense of what this age is to be like, in other words, chapter 13, the first seven parables, if you have a sense of what this age is to be like, you are to go out into it as scribes. That's why he asks, do you understand these things? Do you understand how the kingdom of heaven is going to work during this age? Not before this age, not after this age, but during this age. It's not something we're going to win. Therefore, every scribe who is instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven, and I'm going to say that is us, that is the disciples that he's talking to, is like a man that is a householder. We would hear the word householder, and we can say head of the household. That's a fairly decent description. But Jesus, again, he's referring to what, again, the disciples knew. They knew who the scribes were. A householder back then was an Eastern term where the householder was basically the head of the house. He was the shepherd of the family. He was the head of the tribe on top of it, not just his family. He was their father. He was a king. He was very, in other words, he was very, very authoritative. And who is Jesus Christ, our Savior? He's very, very authoritative. We bow down to him. We listen to him. The same thing with the householder. We listen to him. Actually, I found that a householder, in the real meaning of it is a is a despot. And we think of the word despot and go, ah, that's bad. That's the way our English language, and that's what we learn. But a despot can be either bad or good. And this despot had control. He was authoritative. But he was there was good in him, as we can see. But this is a, and when he says it's a householder, it's a picture of an authoritative ruler. What does a householder do? He brings from his treasure house. Our treasure house is the Word of God. But back then he would bring from his treasures. Sometimes they say lay up their treasures. They would have lots of treasures in his house. But he didn't hoard them. He didn't keep them. The householder distributed them to his household as they needed them. He was free to give out as much as he could. He wasn't worried about running out. And we have the same thing with Christ. We go to the treasure house, the Word of God, go to his treasure. We think of his treasure. And he just keeps giving to no end. So we have the scribes are like a man is a householder. What does he do? Who bringeth forth out of his treasure things old and new. It doesn't say new things and old things, how we would go. We'll bring some new things out and old things. It says he brings out things new and old. Old being ancient things, the Word of God, the Old Testament truths, that the law, basically, the truths that were there. And the new is applications of the old. I can know, I've been going through, I thought, okay, what can I do? Okay, do I have any good examples? And maybe just the example would be, I forgot my watch. We're almost finished. But the example might be is a farmer's market. You pass out a track, but you pass out a wall hanging. New, old. Old, the verse on there. That verse is from, you know, time, eternity, in the back. The new is the way we're presenting it. It's there. It's the Word of God. It's old, but it's a new way of presenting it, and that happens every generation. There's new things, new applications for the old. So that's why he says new things, new and old, not new things and old things. But and they work the same way. You can almost go to for gardeners here. You have a plant, a root, and you can buy now in the summertime, and there's no bud or no flower. The root is dead. You kind of say, not producing. And you go backwards the other way. You come and say, wow, there's a flower, and there's some fruit on there. The root is good. The old is good. The new is good. Another thing is where, you know, the phrase might mean things fresh and ancient. But the principle is old, the application is new for each age. If you think about in history, just by transportation, or you can just think of gains that have gone on in the centuries, women's rights, different social places. But the treasure house, you know, it says we can kind of surmise what is meant by old. And I said the kingship of God. What is meant by new? The application of that old nationally, socially, individually, at all times. That is responsible of all these who are named scribes. Those set in authority as householders, that we have the authority just like that householder has. God has named these people new scribes, but he has given us that authority. The treasure house is there. The Word of God. And the business that we have to do, that was why I saw, we got to be about God's business. I started scribbling that down, but the business of such is to bring the treasure forth. We're not supposed to hide it. We're supposed to bring the treasures forth. So this final parable is actually the application to us and our responsibilities. The whole picture is that of an authoritative ruler, lavishly scattering out his wealth things that which are necessary to supply and to operate within his realm, within his household, within the government of his household. This is a picture of all these, when it says all these things, this is a picture of all these who are instructed in the kingdom of God. Disciples of Jesus are those seen as the true rulers of the ages. And they correctly interpret the kingdom and represent him to do it. We have access to external treasure house. And in that treasure house, there are things old and new. Picture the disciples of Jesus in this age. We see the age on the human side as it will be seen by man of sight. But we also see the divine side as it is seen in the purpose of God stretching out into the ages. The scribes were the moral authority. So are we. To be. Now, this has been going on for almost 2,000 years. The church has been doing that very thing. She has been exercising moral authority in the history of the world from Jesus until today. I know that how, and we know how it seems to have failed, you know. But our Lord told us there would be failure in those parables. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you that we, as they say, we're out about doing your business. Because if you've named us scribes, showed us that we have been taught what we've been taught about the kingdom of heaven. We've also seen and know the divine side of what the kingdom of heaven will be, where man, sinful man, and people that reject you do not see that. But we also see their side of what they're experiencing and what we experience. We thank you that you've given we saw sing a song, for not forget not all thy benefits, but you provided us to, again, go out with the confidence, with the authority of our King. He wants us to participate and go out until he returns. We thank you that you take just a small little parable like this, and of all the ones that we have, this one is concerning in us, our responsibility. As they showed, he said, once you say, do you understand these things? Yes. Then, therefore, Jesus says, go out, become a scribe. I've taken you as a new person, not the old way of doing the scribe's business, but what it's meant, what was meant to be back as we look into the Old Testament. Thank you, Lord, for, again, the gifts you've given us this day and continue to give us. And thank you for your leading in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.